Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. I want to know what our history is with the wizard. Henry, if I know you, I think you were in that theater with your mom and your brother.
You know what? This was a VHS rental. Oh. I actually skipped it. When I look at it, it was Christmas 89, and I do know my family was moving to Atlanta around this time, so I think maybe that upset things in what we were doing. We moved in the summer that time, but the commercials made me want to see it only because the commercials told me this is a video game tournament where you are going to see Super Mario Brothers 3, which I guess if I had bought like EGM back then, maybe I could have seen the import reviews of the game. But to me, it was like, wait, there's a Super Mario Brothers 3 and I have to see this movie to see it. That marketing did work on me, but I waited until the VHS and then I never watched it again because, to me as a little kid, this was a boring movie about things that were not playing video games most of the time. And so I haven't watched it since childhood, not even ironically for joke purposes. This is the first full watch through I've done for it. I'd say since 1990, I guess, would have been when I got it on VHS. So yeah,
wow.
It's been a long time.
My history with this movie, I didn't see it in theaters. And when my mom was dating my stepdad, who actually looks a lot like Beau Bridges in this movie, whenever I see this movie, I'm like, well, that's my stepdad in 1989 or 1991 or whenever I met him. She was dating my stepdad. It was time to rent a movie with the family. I wanted to rent The Wizard. I was vetoed. I was a little surly about that. They rented the Steve Martin vehicle Parenthood. I didn't watch it with them. I just played Nintendo. And then I just put it out of my mind. And then it wasn't until, I believe, 2012, we did a more traditional episode about The Wizard for Retronauts when we were at 1UP. That's the first time I saw it when I was like 30. And now I'm returning to it at the age of 40 to do a commentary track about it.
Yeah. Well, if you'd have seen it then, all of the anti-stepfather stuff in this would have made things uncomfortable for the family watching it together, I bet.
Yes, my stepdad, much nicer than Sam McMurray, the villainous Sam McMurray.
He's great as a jerk. He's really good. It seems like they pretty much just told him, do what you did in Raising Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty much the same, too.
I mean, the morality of this film is very strange in that he's demonized for wanting to put his like autistic son in a care facility that he probably needs because he's just wandering down the highway.
He does need help. Well,
he needs to be monitored at least.
He does talk very dispassionately about like, it's my legal obligation, I'm responsible. Like I have thoughts on the other writer's character, but this movie is a mess. And I also just feel it, something about watching it as an adult now. As a kid watching it, I thought, it's a kid adventure movie. This is how kids go on adventures. As an adult watching it, I'm like, there's some stuff that makes me uncomfortable in this movie.
There's a constant stranger danger. It's pretty uncomfortable. I wonder what our parents out there think. Let us know. But before we continue with the commentary track, let's hear what two dead guys thought of this movie.
I just liked almost everything about The Wizard. I just liked the danger those children were in as they hitchhiked hundreds of miles and at one point actually used a skateboard on an interstate highway, traveled by heavy trucks. Great image for kids that don't want to play in traffic. I just like the stupid and ham-handed so-called humor of the feud between the people who were chasing them. I just like the blatant commercial plugolas for Nintendo video games and the Universal Tour. And I thought the sentimental ending of the film was really a cheap shot. I think that just about covers it.
It's very sort of mean, venal kind of film in the way with all the plugs that you're talking about. Also, I just didn't think it was particularly good fun.
No, huh.
I mean, it leads to, and I don't think they get there quickly enough, to showing the video games on a big screen format. Mm-hmm. And I think if they had done more of that, if they had really been in love, if the people who had made this had really been in love with the Nintendo games, they might have made a more interesting visual picture.
There you have it. And Ebert, in his written review, gave it 1 star.
Man, that's totally deserved. And he likes kid adventure movies at times, though. This was around the same time he gave his famously very negative review to North, the Rob Reiner kid movie.
I guess that was like 5 years later, right? That was 94. Right.
Yeah, with Elijah Wood. He wasn't acting yet when this movie came out.
No, Tobey Maguire was.
Oh, yeah.
He's in this movie for about 3 seconds.
And venal is a great word for it, though.
Yeah, to use that adjective to describe the wizard is very Gene Siskel. Now, I think Roger Ebert was a little bitter because he nearly became a gamer American. He dodged a bullet. And I have a nice little quote from him about his dabbling with video games. This is from Roger Ebert from way back in the day. He says, quote, "I got one of these NES sets at home, and I started playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with it. And after a while, after a week of this, I'd find that every time I had a spare moment and every time I came home, I was in front of the set playing with these mutant turtles. It got to the point where it was making me quite unhappy because I was so obsessed with it. And I finally unplugged the machine and said, that's it for Nintendo. I really want to get in the time machine, go to Chicago in 1989, and look in the window to see a man in his 40s, a Roger Ebert in his 40s, playing the damn level of Ninja Turtles. I really want to know what that's like.
A slightly graying man surrounded by his, like, you know, his Russ Meyer posters playing this game. Hey, look, it happens to... I get that an adult man back then, there was also a lot more shame attached to it. Like, oh, you're playing this? Like, and he's got to hit his deadlines. I get that. It's funny he brings that up in the thing with Siskel, and Siskel has to one-up him. Like, he says, you know, I've played the game, and I can tell that's not level 3. And then Siskel goes, well, if you looked at the screen anyway, you'll see the number on it. And I could tell it's not level 3 because he had a 300 score. And then whenever you watch the movie, or I pulled up that scene, I was like, Siskel's right.
Good,
like,
eye.
Yeah.
Good eye from Siskel.
Yeah.
But yes, those were Siskel and Ebert's thoughts. It was a critically panned movie. We'll get into it when we do our commentary right now. Looking for love.